You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner, devoted to helping you become a soul on fire.
Igniting Souls, episode 49, How to Remember Your Future. Hey, this is Carrie Oberbrunner. Thanks for joining us. When I first started exploring this topic a few years ago, remembering your future, I thought it was crazy. I think most of us have grown up thinking that memory works one direction, backwards. I mean, we use phrases all the time, like, I remember who I went with. I remember what we ate. I remember when we left. I remember where we went. I remember why we took action. In other words, it's all past. And again, most of us think of memory as one direction. What I've realized is that this is absolutely false. It's only complete halfway. Now think about that. If you had something as powerful as a mental faculty, and I know that sounds crazy big, mental faculty is just the way your brain power works. And I don't know about you, but in my personal and professional life, I would love to be able to have all the brain power possible. And if you haven't been using this mental faculty about remembering your future, you're only using half of your brain power. Now, that's crazy. See, lots of us, we want to buy the latest app, the latest software. We want to sleep longer, eat better. In other words, if you're listening to this podcast, which I know you are, a lot of us are into hacks. Hacks. How do you get productivity hacks? How do you get, software hacks? All kinds of things that are going to be shortcuts, that are going to help you get the most out of the energy that you put into something. Now, if I told you something like, hey, you're only using half of what you could use, you're only getting half of your productivity, you're only getting half your results, you're only getting half of your income, everybody would flip out. They'd say, absolutely, tell me how to get double. How do I increase it? And this is that answer. This is the answer to getting twice as much brain power. It's using memory, but not in the sense of the past, but in the sense of the future. This is what Psychology Today says. Psychology Today, imagining the future, for example, involves many of the same brain areas as remembering the past. Your brain activates the hippocampus and medial temporal lobe for all mental time travel, both when you visit the past and you go back to the future. Now, I know we just had the 20th anniversary or something like that of Back to the Future, but hang with me, folks. I know some of you are still thinking, what in the world? What's he even talking about? Remember the future? Okay, anytime you've had a future situation that caused anxiety, maybe this was a wedding date, maybe this was a big speech you had to give, maybe this was a big interview, when you think about that future event, the craziest thing in the world is that your brain is so powerful, it creates a future story. And that future story is one that you live inside. You live inside it so much that you even have physiological symptoms. What do I mean by this? Sweating, heart palpitations, twitching of your hands. If you've ever had a big, big situation in your future, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you had a medical test and you're waiting to get the results back, and you are so nervous. What you're actually doing is you are remembering your future right there, and you're actually engaging a holistic response. Now, if you can do that for something that causes anxiety and fear, imagine if you were able to use that same mental faculty, that same brain power, and use it for good instead of stress and cortisol-inducing activity. I mean, what if you could actually use that and hack that and create a good story about your future? This is exactly what I do. This is what I teach my higher level clients. I'm happy to teach you. I care about you guys. I love the fact that you dedicate the time to engage in this podcast. As you know, at carryoverrunner.com, Igniting Souls, we are spending so much time, effort, and energy to get people to realize that the most powerful weapon on earth, according to Ferdinand Foch, is the human soul on fire. Saint Irenaeus said it, that the glory of God is man or woman fully alive, and we believe it. And if you haven't heard the opposite of that truth, it's that Carl Jung, a Swiss psychologist, said that the most damaging thing in the life of the child, after all of his research, after all of his tests, the most damaging thing in the life of a child is the unlived life of the parent. That's why we do what we do over at Igniting Souls, because we realize that if you're a soul on fire, you are kicking back the kingdom of darkness. You are on fire. You are adding value to the world. The opposite, though, people who are disengaged, disillusioned, disoriented, they're people that are sucking the life out of themselves, their loved ones, their jobs. It's not effective. It's not cool. It's not a good representation of why God put them on earth. This is why we are so passionate about this. And again, we do webinars often. We do free training. Big shout out to our most recent podcast review, Adam Kasel, K-A-S-E-L. Thanks so much for jumping over to iTunes, giving the podcast a great ranking. We appreciate that. That helps this get out, and it helps other people find it and get help for their own personal and professional life as well. So let's talk about this. What in the world is remembering the future? Well, I did a session on this at the Igniting Souls Conference back in October 2015, and I don't have time to get into it all today, but this was part of session one, and it was one of my 3 points for the first session. I always like to start off big and pretty bold, and it was. It was big and bold. And point two under clarify your moonshot was remember your future. And if you're a person of faith, you'll totally love this next point. If you're not, just listen. I think you'll find it helpful as well. But my favorite teacher had a action that he did. He, of course, is Christ, Jesus Christ. And when he was here on earth, a lot of people chalk up the foot washing that he did as like one of the most powerful acts that he did. Because, look, he's going to use this remember the future thing, and I'm going to show you how he did this. It's really powerful. So here's the situation. He and his inner circle, you might want to call it a mastermind, but he and his mastermind, they were celebrating this thing called the Last Supper. And, of course, you've probably seen paintings about it, that type of thing. But in the first century, the custom was that you do not do foot washing. You only do foot washing if you're the lowest of the low, if you're a servant, if you're someone who basically is just above dirt. And as a result, everybody shows up at the Last Supper. And nobody's willing to, quote, lower themselves to do this. Everyone's cocky. Everyone's insecure. Everyone's trying to prove themselves. Kind of like how social media is today for a lot of people. I mean, not many things have changed, right? So they're all posturing and, you know, I'm the best and I'm not going to do that. And then the Son of God says, hey, I'll wash your feet. Now, again, we focus on the action. We think it's fantastic. We think that it's powerful. But very few people have ever, ever, ever said, you know what? What went into his mind before he made that action? Before he did that wonderful act of service, like what went through Jesus's mind? And when you realize this, this is exactly what remembering the future was. It says Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Folks, code words. Jesus remembered his future. It's exactly what happened. Jesus remembered his future. And guess what it did? It enabled him, empowered him, and equipped him to do a radical act, both personally and professionally. I mean, this was huge. This was, people remember this for the rest of their lives. And we talk about it 2,000 years after the event. It was so powerful. But what happened? He remembered his future. And then it says, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. Incredibly powerful. Now, you might say, well, Kerry, I'm not a person of faith. Give me an example of, you know, somebody doing that. Okay, Jim Carrey. If you don't know this, Google it. Jim Carrey, when he was broke, when he was absolutely broke, had no money, no contracts, guess what he did? And you can find this all over the place, but it happened on, well, it was quoted on CBNFinance.com, CBN.com Finance. Oprah talks about it. It's all over the place. And yeah, he even shares it in Oprah's Life class. He wrote himself a $10 million check, a $10 million check, and when he had nothing. And the story is fantastic. He was young. Jim Carrey's father lost his job. The whole family had to live in a camper on a relative's lawn. They all took jobs working as janitors and security guards at a nearby factory. Jim Carrey himself worked an 8-hour shift straight after school, right? Then Carrey got his start as a stand-up comedian at the age of 15. And he bombed so badly that everybody said, you know, you're never going to do this. And yet he persevered, right? At 19, he headed to Hollywood. But like many young actors, he found out that success was elusive. In 1985, broke and depressed, he drove his beat-up old Toyota up to the Hollywood Hills. There, sitting overlooking Los Angeles, he daydreamed of success to make himself feel better. He wrote himself for a $10 million acting services rendered check. He postdated it 10 years and kept it in his wallet. The check remained there until it deteriorated, but eventually Carrey made it. He earned millions for movies like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, Dumb and Dumber. When his father passed away in 1994, Carrey slipped the check into the casket to be buried. Folks, this is fantastic. Jim Carrey remembered his future when he had absolutely nothing. If Jim Carrey can do it, okay, if you're not a person of faith, if Jesus Christ can do it and you are a person of faith, folks, Steve Jobs did it, author of Harry Potter did it. All kinds of people have tapped into this mental faculty called remembering your future. It's fantastic. It's amazing. It's brilliant. It's genius. One more example, and then we're going to basically call it quits for this episode. Jesus. Going to reference him one more time. This is called the High Priestly Prayer. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Folks, he is in his worst of the worst. He's sweating drops of blood. This is the most painful situation any human being has ever been through. And guess what he does? He prays, Father, I want those who you have given me to be with me where I am. Present tense. This is the Greek. The Greek phrase is opu ego eimi. And what he says is, I pray that they may be with me where I am. Where is he? In a garden, about to be killed, about to be crucified, about to be flogged, 40 lashes with a whip. Folks, he isn't saying, can all my future followers, you know, in 2015, 2016, 2017, can they all just hop in this garden with me? No. Jesus remembered his future in his most painful, dark situation ever. And what he does is he remembers his future, and it helps him overcome the cross that he's about to go through. He basically envisions the crown, and it gives him courage as he faces his cross. Folks, this is you. This is why I'm doing this episode for you today, because I want you to realize that you too have the same ability to remember your future. Folks, this is what I did. This is what I always do. I always have the meeting before the meeting, before I go into a big situation with a big fish, before I go to write the next chapter in my next book, before I jump on the next webinar. I remember the future, and I create a future story that I want to live within. See, most people, they create a story 24/7, and they don't want to even be in that story. They remember the future, but they remember it from a very negative place, a place that they don't want to be, a place that they reject, a place of negative energy, and yet they choose to live within that story. Folks, I'm saying you can rewrite your story today. This is the gift. This is the gift of the mind that your Creator has given you. An ability to say, I will remember my future. I have this thing called Author Academy Elite. If you ever want to find out more about it, just text the word PUBLISH to 33444. Text the word PUBLISH to 33444. I think it should lead you to the next time that we have an opening. But here's the point. Very early on, before any of our authors write one single word, you know what I do? I have them jump on and do an I Am an Author video. And I say, do not do this video in the present tense. Don't do it in the past. You talk about your future as if it is the present. So what these people do is they jump on and say, hey, my name's Jimmy, and I'm an author, and I just spoke at a stadium full of people that needed to hear my message. These are people that had someone who passed, a loved one, a child, and it was a convention for people who have lost a child and had to go through that tragedy of burying a loved one, something a parent should never have to do. And I just got done speaking about my book, and there was a huge signing, a book signing that happened, and national TV was there. Boom, 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 boom. They create this future picture, and guess what? What they're doing is they're hacking their brain so that when they face writer's block, when they face all kinds of adversity, people saying, who do you think you are? Who do you think is going to read your book? Why do you think you're qualified to write this? You know, what's your problem? Again, you're going to face all of this when you engage in something big. Here's what happens. They do that I Am an Author video, and they yank the future and lasso it to the present, and they choose to live within that story. And I'm telling you, folks, time and time and time again, I've seen it with 100 plus authors. They've done this, and they've been able to experience tremendous breakthroughs. Folks, this is the power of the mind. This is a mental faculty. It's called Remember Your Future. Hopefully I've given you enough today to get started. If you want more, of course, look me up. Hang around. We do live events. We have Escaping Shawshank coming up. We're just about to release tickets to the public. EscapingShawshank.com. This is what we do. We go to Shawshank Prison, and inside of a cell, I teach you how to do this so that when you break out of that cell, metaphorically and physically, you suddenly can have this breakthrough in your business, your book. It's fantastic. your ministry, whatever you're trying to create, because we teach you how to do this. Folks, I'm telling you, success is 99% mindset, 99% thinking. And then it's just acting it out and implementing what you'd discover through the mindset training. Folks, this is what we've been able to do in our business, in other people's businesses. This is what we do. We teach you how to be a soul on fire and learn how to do these hacks. Forget all the, you know, all the flashy silver bullet shiny object syndrome. We get to the hardcore stuff, which is that you and me are our own worst enemy, and we need to stop self-sabotaging our success. Folks, this is Carrie Oberbrunner, Be a Soul on Fire today. I believe it's episode 49. I think so. We had a blast. I had a blast. And stay tuned. If you like this episode, go ahead, jump on iTunes, share it, post it. If you know somebody who needs it, folks, give them the gift of remembering their future.
You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner, devoted to helping you become a soul on fire.